Governor Scott Walker signed lame duck legislation 24 days before leaving office. He said Friday in Green Bay that the impact of the bill had been overstated. We'll look at whether this legislation is a power shift here on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's go to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter. Laurel, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So when Governor Walker signed these bills in Green Bay on Friday, what did he say about what he signed?
So he talked a lot about accountability, stability, protection of Wisconsin taxpayers. He said that he'd evaluated all of these lame duck bills over the course of about a week or so. It felt like several weeks, but he signed these bills in about a week. And he said that all of the bills met his criteria in full, actually. So he didn't actually veto any of the measures in part, which was something we had an eye on. So he went ahead and approved them in their entirety.
He also said that they were not compromising the powers of the incoming administration. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right. He said that it was really kind of overblown and overstated, the pushback to these bills. Some opponents, as I'm sure you're aware, have called them a GOP power grab and sort of set off the balance of power in the Capitol. Proponents of the bill say that they're ensuring a balance of power in the Capitol. But the governor said these really don't do that much. They don't change that much. And he had the now, I guess, kind of infamous Venn diagram up with him to try to illustrate that point.
The Venn diagram that's been tweeted countless times, right? So what did this Venn diagram show? What was he trying to show there?
So he was trying to show, I think, the fact that a lot of the powers of the governor's office remain intact, particularly those kind of fundamental kind of really base powers of the governor's office. So he still has that really powerful veto pen. The Wisconsin governor has a line item veto. Not many governors have that. It's a very powerful veto. Still has the ability to appoint cabinet members, of course, release his own version of the state budget, which is very influential, and issue pardons, which is something actually, incidentally, that Governor Walker did not do, but that we know Governor-elect Evers is interested in doing. So The center of the Venn diagram pointed out those things that are staying the same. Some people argued that the Venn diagram didn't do this part as effectively, but intended to list the things that Governor Walker was able to do that Governor-elect Evers won't be able to do.
Yeah, so what is changing for the power of the incoming governor?
So he's not going to be able to do a couple things. I think one interesting thing that we've talked a lot about, and I think it's because it's something Governor-elect Evers campaigned on pretty consistently, is he's not going to be able to remove Wisconsin from a multi-state lawsuit that's challenging the Affordable Care Act. He said, I'm going to get Wisconsin out of that. He's not going to be able to do that now because it would require legislative approval. In the past, the attorney general could say, hey, I want to bow out of this lawsuit. The governor could approve it, and it's all done. But under this new legislation that was signed by Governor Walker last week, it would require the State Budget Committee to sign off on that. And there are a couple other things that the State Budget Committee will have to sign off on now that the governor previously had power over. So some things to do with economic development in the state, how Wisconsin spends money that it gets from legal settlements, from lawsuits that it wins. Mm-hmm. The governor's going to have to run by some, different administrative changes that he didn't have to before. And he doesn't have as much power over, speaking of economic development, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Board. So some tweaks there that just kind of take away some things that actually were created to give Governor Walker more power when he took office in 2011. So it's sort of going back to a little bit to the way it was pre-Governor Walker.
Yeah, and we're going to dig in more to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and what changes are in store there. But in terms of the early voting, we know that that was something that many people were opposed to. What happened in terms of early voting?
So early voting was a part of these lame duck bills that didn't have to do with executive power. It kind of stands out there by itself. And what it does is it limits early voting in Wisconsin to 2 weeks, which would be a big change for some parts of the state and not so much in others. So proponents of this particular change say that cities like Milwaukee and Madison have offered several weeks of early voting in recent years, since 2016, when instantly a federal lawsuit knocked down some previous restrictions on early voting. Places like Milwaukee and Madison really opened it up to offer several weeks of that. People who were critical of that said, Milwaukee and Madison had all of these opportunities, smaller communities in rural parts of the state that don't have the staff, the infrastructure, the funds to offer that kind of opportunity. They said, you know, that's really unfair. Why should people in Madison have so many opportunities to vote and people in rural parts of the state not? So they say that this 2-week restriction is kind of leveling the playing field.
We're talking with Laurel White. She's WPR State Capitol reporter. We're looking at the lame duck session and all of the package of bills that Governor Walker signed on Friday. You can join in 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on the measures passed in the lame duck session and signed by Governor Walker? Do you work for Kimberly Clark? Tell us your thoughts on the legislature's action. 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Laurel, a group run by former Democratic U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder says it plans to block a limitation on that early voting in Wisconsin that the governor signed into law. What do we know about early indications of legal challenges here?
So that is the one that we know about for sure. We know that that group, in partnership with One Wisconsin Institute, is planning to file that lawsuit. One Wisconsin Institute was actually involved in that 2016 lawsuit that I mentioned briefly just a minute ago. They challenged a number of election laws in Wisconsin, including the voter ID law and some restrictions on early voting. They were successful in that case. Those early voting restrictions were struck down. And they say this time around, hey, these new restrictions are pretty similar to those old restrictions that we had in that successful lawsuit. So we're coming back, we're challenging them again. And they have at their side this time, this group headed by former AG Holder.
So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who has been speaker since 2013, is really positioning himself to take over as the state's most powerful Republican. He was the driving force behind the lame duck legislation. What do you think Voss's role will be in 2019?
Well, you know, Robin Voss is the head of the Republican majority in the state assembly, and he still has, this was the case for the last legislature, a pretty historic majority. It's the largest majority for Republicans since the 1950s, I believe. So he has a very strong caucus there. He has the ability to pass a lot of legislation with a pretty safe margin. I think that's the difference. The easiest difference to point out, I think, between the state assembly and the state Senate, because Speaker Voss has such a large kind of comfortable majority of Republicans, where Senator Fitzgerald, as we've seen in things like Kimberly Clark, for example, he can only lose a handful of votes and he's not able then to pass something that Republicans might be in support of in the state Senate. So Speaker Voss really has an opportunity, as you mentioned, to kind of set a tone to get things accomplished that he wants to get accomplished. But in a lot of ways, he has some new obstacles that weren't there before. Obviously, a Democratic governor who could veto any legislation. So we'll have to keep an eye on that going forward.
You're with us on the State Capitol Report as we break down the latest at the Capitol with Governor Walker signing lame duck legislation Friday. We're going to look at the Kimberly Clark incentive plan. You can join in 800-642-1234. Do you work for Kimberly Clark? Tell us your thoughts on the legislature's action. Changes were made to the state's job agency. WEDIC will talk about it. Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation in a moment on the Ideas Network. You're with us on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kedar Cherkent, talking about the latest news out of the Capitol, including Governor Walker signing the lame duck legislation on Friday. Laurel White is our guide. She's WPR's state capitol reporter, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Later here, we'll be turning to WEDC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And what do you think of the changes to WEDC? Do you wonder about changes and how that would impact the Foxconn deal? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Laura, let's turn now to Kimberly Clark. Something that's been important to Governor Walker was striking a deal to save those Kimberly Clark jobs. And when the legislature didn't take it up in the lame duck session, he tweeted he would find another way. What does this final deal look like?
So the final deal that the governor announced last week is a $28 million deal for Kimberly Clark to keep this Fox Valley plant open. That plant employs about 400 people, and they're going to have to, you know, to hold their end of the bargain. They're going to have to keep a certain number of jobs, and they have to invest a certain number. I think it's $200 million in that facility. So what's interesting about this package is that the $28 million that was approved last week or announced last week is really substantially smaller than the $100 million that Governor Walker first proposed for the company way back in January or February. Mm-hmm. So this has really gone through quite the evolution since it went before lawmakers early this year.
And are there specific clawback provisions should Kimberly Clark not follow through with their end of the deal?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So if they don't keep that the specified number of jobs, the state will be able to claw back that money. Provisions that we've become kind of familiar with as we've talked about, you know, the Foxconn deal or the proposal for this deal several months ago.
And Governor Walker approved this deal with Kimberly Clark. However, Tony Evers, the incoming governor, won't have the same powers. Is mm-hmm. that right?
Yeah. So it's actually interesting. The governor announced this deal and then very shortly after announced that he was going to be signing the lame duck bills. And the order of those events is not a coincidence, because one of the laws that he signed takes away the governor's power to do what he did with Kimberly Clark. Essentially, what Governor-elect Evers won't be able to do is approve this kind of deal without the okay of the state budget committee. And Governor Walker said, well, I would have been able to do this Kimberly Clark deal even if the law had been in place, because I'm sure the state legislature, the budget committee, would have approved this $28 million deal anyway. But of course, that comes on the heels of lawmakers not approving the Kimberly Clark deal. Mm. It couldn't come up for a vote in the state Senate. So a little back and forth there, I think, from both sides of that argument. But that's right. Governor-elect Evers won't be able to do something like this in the future.
Well, let's turn our attention to WEDC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, this quasi-governmental agency that Governor Walker created in 2011, hands out grants and loans and tax credits to businesses and other organizations. What changes came to WEDC under this legislation?
So there are quite a few changes to WEDC, and the reason for that is Governor-elect Evers campaigned on his opposition to WEDC in part. He said he actually wanted to get rid of the organization and transition back to what Wisconsin had before WEDC, which was a Department of Commerce. And so kind of in reaction to that, Republican lawmakers have tried to build a force field, I guess, if you will, kind of a little bit more legislative oversight rather than gubernatorial oversight around this agency. And the way that they've done that is increase lawmakers' appointments to the board of WEDC, now state lawmakers, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. They have more appointments than the governor. And the board members of WEDC are able to choose the chair rather than the governor. So there's a little bit of insulation there from the executive branch. Also, what we were just talking about, where the governor isn't able to approve deals with WEDC without the approval of state lawmakers on the budget committee.
Let's bring in Nate joining us from Milwaukee. Good morning, Nate.
Hi, thank you. I was going to mention how the bills that Walker signed actually did the opposite of increasing both transparency and accountability. Specifically, I was going to get Wiedek and that one of the bills actually removed some of the requirements that Wiedek keep track of grants and loan money and to for the that it gives out to businesses is supposedly good at jobs. Also, since the state legislature right now is still gerrymandered and therefore not honestly elected, all the powers that basically give the state legislature more control are going to a group that is not accountable to the people, and therefore decreasing accountability overall.
Nate, thanks so much for the call. What do we know about job tracking and how that is assessed?
This is something that's been a big part of the Wiedek public identity and something that's been really controversial over the past several years. There have been a number of audits of Wiedek that have said that there have been substantial troubles for the agency in tracking job creation and retention. An early audit several years ago actually found that they weren't following state laws and handing out grants. So that's really something that Governor-elect Evers pointed to consistently, were the challenges with job tracking. And he said that really proves the point that the agency isn't accountable to taxpayers if it can't prove, hey, we're giving out this amount of money and this is the return. The change that, Governor Walker approved last week is that Wiedek no longer has to review every job that every grantee has or creates. Now they will just be able to take a sample of the job. So, take a little bit out, verify that, and grantees will have to sign a letter saying that their submissions for job creation are accurate. So it's a pretty substantial change on the heels of them having trouble with job tracking. Mm. It's the submissions are going to be even smaller than they were before.
Let's bring in Jimmy now in Valley Junction. Hi, Jimmy.
Morning. It's an obvious power grab by Republican legislature because they lost all the statewide elections, and so I wouldn't have so much trouble with individual policy initiatives like the tax. I think there was they changed to cut some taxes to offset the new internet tax, but the problem is these taking away the power from the executive when they'd never do that with Walker. And the Democrats will probably have to wait until 2022 to even vote these guys out because the gerrymandering won't be resolved until redistricting.
Jimmy, thanks so much for the call. How are Democrats responding to this?
So they are pushing back on that. They're saying, this wouldn't have happened if Governor Walker had been reelected. And Republicans are pushing back and saying, we're just protecting some of our legislative accomplishments from the past several years. Things like voter ID, they're saying it shouldn't be the case that Governor-elect Evers can come in and with, one executive action undo that legislation that Republican lawmakers say was passed by the Republican legislature, was signed by the governor, and because lawmakers are elected by the people, they say that was the will of the people. So they're arguing that this is just kind of safeguarding things that one person shouldn't be able to undo.
Let's bring in Sharon now in Milwaukee. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
Hi. I used to work for a company in Racine County that received money from both the state and the Racine County Economic Development Corporation. The whole deal was supposed to bring in 25 jobs. At the most, they had 13 and then dropped down to like 5, and there was no tracking of it. And I worked in the accounting department. I know there was no tracking. So if they do that for a small company, how are they going to do it for a big company?
Sharon, thank you so much for the call, the observation there. What are you watching going forward as this Wiedek situation evolves and job tracking?
Mm-hmm. I think that there's going to continue to be pretty substantial pushback from Democrats on job tracking. This is something that they've voiced concerns about over and over, especially in the wake of those audits that found that the agency wasn't doing what it said it was doing. And there was a lot of concern expressed after the Foxconn deal that the agency had kind of a difficult track record with job tracking, and how were they going to ensure jobs were created in such a large quantity, and jobs that are expensive for the state of Wisconsin. It was such an expensive economic development package. So I don't think that this is something that's going to go away because WEDIC is staying. And certainly these changes to job creation are going to be or job tracking rather, is something that I expect Democrats to bring up in the budget committee.
Well, Laurel, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter. We've been talking about the latest news from the state capitol, including Governor Walker signing the lame duck legislation. Up next is news. Then we'll continue our series of interviews with Wisconsin's lawmakers by talking with Congressman-elect Brian Stile. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.